I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. The first night of the holy Muslim month of Ramadan begins Monday, and each year during Ramadan, more than 100 of the best young students from across the Islamic world head to Cairo, Egypt, for the International Holy Quran Competition. It's one of the most prestigious contests for Muslims. You can think of it as something like a national spelling bee. But instead of memorizing words, these kids have memorized the Quran, the whole thing. Director Greg Barker's new film is called Quran by Heart. And Greg, you follow 3 10-year-olds. There's a boy from Tajikistan, another boy who's from Senegal in Africa, and a girl from the Maldives who all took part in the competition last year. We're going to hear a little bit right now, Greg, of each of them reciting from the Quran.
So that's the sound of the best and brightest young kids from across the Islamic world come together to see who can recite the Quran most accurately and most beautifully. There's an enormous amount of importance placed on the artistry of recitation. And what's amazing is to hear these 10-year-old kids who have this book in their heads and can command a single passage sort of as they're prompted by the judges, but also they bring to it their own individual expression, their own artistry, and that was really what captivated me as a storyteller. And ultimately we use the stories of these amazing 10-year-old kids as a window into the next generation of Muslims around the world.
And some of the kids are 10. These are among the youngest. There was a 7-year-old, in fact, as well. And as you say, the artistry is a major part of this. They're reciting the Quran. They're almost singing it. And is that their own individual expression? Are they finding the rhythm and even the melody in these cases?
They are. Quranic recitation has very, very precise rules of pronunciation. And, of course, the text has to be exact. But the individual reciter has freedom over how they actually recite it, the melody. Now, to Muslims, they do not consider it music. But it's interesting because non-Muslim scholars who study it all tend to be musicologists. Hmm. I mean, to the non-Muslim ear, it sounds like music. And the melody is completely improvised, sort of inspired by the moment.
Oh, you mean if one of these competitors does it twice, they might do it 2 different ways?
Yes.
Wow. There's so much that's
it's amazing.
It's really amazing. It's, you know, the idea that these kids are memorizing a text that's like 600 pages long, correct?
Yeah, 600 pages long, you know, thousands of verses. It's really extraordinary.
Why do they do it? And this one that you're focusing on is in Cairo. We know that there are others. There's one in Dubai, one in Tehran. But why are they memorizing the entire Quran?
Lots of Muslims memorize passages from the Quran. But not everybody, of course, memorizes the entire book. But it's just prized as a sign of knowledge, as a sign of someone who's a dedicated Muslim. So in the past 20 or 30 years or so, these contests have become incredibly popular across the Islamic world. And, of course, in the film, the question is, well, how do these young kids balance their religious education with their secular education?
Can you tell us exactly what happened in this big room? I mean, there were finalists who were named. The 3 kids that you were following, tell us more about them, the trek that they had made to get to this room at the time.
There's a boy from Senegal, a boy from the middle of nowhere, really, in Tajikistan, a young girl from the Maldives and the Indian Oceans, and they travel thousands of miles. It's really the adventure of a lifetime for them. It's like a national spelling bee, except it's more of like an Olympics-type competition for these kids because they really are there representing their countries.
And they probably have never been outside their countries. And in the case of Jamil, the little boy from Senegal, he's even said, you are representing not just your country, but your continent. And you see this adorable little kid who doesn't even have anybody accompanying him to Cairo.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure on these kids. And the kids themselves are just so endearing. And the reason that we focused on some of the youngest competitors is they're kind of on the cusp of entering the discussion about the future of Islam, which kind of is swirling around them. But they themselves are sort of still innocent. And I think the question that we're all left with is, what does the future hold? And through them, we kind of get a sense of where Islam itself is headed over the next 10, 20 years.
Now, that's the subtext of the competition. How did you encounter that? Maybe even in the families of these kids.
These families let us into those discussions. So this young girl, Rifta, from the Maldives, is very, very bright, straight-A student, Her mother wants her to be a scientist and to have a career. Her father, as it turns out, had some kind of religious experience 10 years ago and has become increasingly fundamentalist in his viewpoints and actually wants her to not have a career but just stay at home and be a housewife.
I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about Nabiola, because you really got into that family as well. This is the 10-year-old from Tajikistan. He has gone to a school that has specifically taught him the recitation of the Quran. But then the school closed. The government was worried about extremist teachings. There's one scene, and this boy just amazes everybody with his recitation, but there's one scene where his dad takes him to apply to a different school, a better school, and something happens. I wonder if you can describe it for us.
Yes. I mean, he's taken to this government-sponsored school in the capital of Tajikistan, Dushanbe. And as he's quizzed by the principal there, it emerges that Nabiola is essentially illiterate in his own language, Tajik, can't really read or write. And this is because his studies up until that point have been exclusively focused on the Quran. And I think Nabiola's father is a bit astonished by this, because he thought he was sending his boy to one of the best religious schools. Of course, in Cairo, in the competition, Nabiola is the superstar.
Yeah, so that brings us back to the competition itself. I want to play a little clip of him in the recitation there. This little kid is in front of the computer that's giving him the prompts, where to begin a verse and which part he should end on. His head is like table level. I mean, he can barely look above the table.
That's right, and his feet don't touch the floor. He's a small little kid. And he's given a single prompt for the first passage in a chapter in the Quran and the end line. And then he has to fill in the blanks. And it could be like a 3 or 4 minute passage. He has to just recall instantly. And he just goes into this other place. He closes his eyes. And as he says in the film, he actually sees the pages of the Quran in front of him. And although he doesn't read Arabic, he knows kind of what these symbols represent. And he just starts, and he has the most beautiful, melodic, entrancing, is that the right word? It must be sort of compelling voice. And there's this amazing moment near the end where he's asked to recite for the president of Egypt, who at the time is Mubarak, because we filmed this last August. And he says, you know, wow, I didn't really know that this was such a big deal. Presidents don't come to listen to anybody. They only come out for big things. And it's this wonderful sort of moment of innocence that just reminds the audience that this is just a 10-year-old kid.
Greg Barker is the filmmaker of the new documentary Quran by Heart, which has its broadcast debut Monday on HBO. It's a beautiful film, Greg. Thank you.
Thank you very much.